Come on, man. RJD.
Ronnie James Dio.
The Holy Diver. Well, here we are. It's Puck Off, guys.
Came in second in his first annual Rockin' Jock Bowl.
Did you?
Yeah.
Yeah.
That's where me and Andy did the show last week.
Over at the Pins. Oh, my gosh.
That's how out of shape rock stars are. That I, even though I wore a bowling shirt on stage for probably a decade to cover my gut, I never bowled.
All you need is a shirt and the shoes.
And I literally walked up and... When they announced my name, I felt like I won the lottery.
Oh, that's
how
awesome.
How could this be possible?
You know, he did my show a couple of times.
Oh, just the greatest.
Yeah. He actually sang live on my show.
Wow. The morning or the late show?
Late show, KMET.
His pipes were going?
Unbelievable singer. Unbelievable. He shows up, and he's got a huge bodyguard and two Doberman pinchers. I go, it's just me and Mel. Who's going to jump you?
They weren't drug sniffing dogs on Mel, were they?
Maybe.
Mel lost a leg. Well, this is it. The final. We got to do that.
Yeah, here we are.
Here we are. The finals. We're down to two teams. In 4 to 7 games, I'll be reading books and praying for the Hall of Fame game.
Yeah, it's sad in a way. Here we are. It's sad. But you know what? And I'm sure the NHL doesn't like this matchup in terms of marquee value, but it's a pretty interesting matchup in terms of, you know, the interesting play between these two teams.
If the Bruins were the Big Cats and the Vegas Knights were the Chicago Blackhawks, they would love this matchup because it's two teams that really play interesting hockey.
Yes.
And have really incredible stories to tell.
Yes. It's a good matchup, really. You know,
and I think it's lazy journalism if all you want to say is how hard the rink is to get to in Florida and how Vegas has only been there 5 years. Like, that's, you know, talk hockey.
Everybody knows all that.
Yeah. No,
and
I mean,
you know what? And
I mean,
this
on
a great
national level. I don't, you know.
But
yeah.
It's a great matchup, isn't it, guys, in terms of the interestingness of the play.
I was just texting with a buddy of mine who lives in Florida now, and he's like, you still like the big, you like still like the big cats. I really still like the big cats. I don't like this 10-day layoff, though.
Yeah, that's a long break.
And all the math showing teams with this long a layoff, it's not good. But the math has never looked good for these big cats. So it's almost good the math doesn't
look
good.
They defy everything.
Yeah.
Yeah, I honestly felt better about them before realizing how long the layoff would be. It is kind of weird. I mean, I know building availability has got to be impossible in Vegas or next to impossible. That place has something going on every, you know, probably 4 hours. And then down there in Sunrise, I don't think they have much else going on. But I don't understand why the break has to be so long. And I think if I was on the Panthers, I'd be pretty upset about it. But I still would pick them. But I think it helps Vegas. I think Panthers in six. I'm rooting for Vegas in six. But I'm thinking Panthers.
I'm with you, Andy. I want Vegas. But I think Panthers are going to do it. But I do think Vegas surprised me against Dallas.
I'm picking Panthers. I want the Panthers. I don't know, though. It's really tough because I'll tell you, they down the middle, the Vegas Golden Knights have four. I like Waugh in the four hole.
Yeah.
They got four really good centers down the middle. They have men on defense, and Aiden Hill's hot. You know, Eichel's playing up to his superstar abilities.
He is.
You still got the old guys there, Wild Bill, Marchessault's playing well. Coleslaw, the fourth line, Carrier's a man.
Carrier's awesome, isn't he?
You know, whew. I mean, and that guy. And then
Coleslaw, too.
Coleslaw's playing some hockey. Nothing against the Vegas Golden Knights other than F. Petrangelo, F that owner, F a lot of things about that team, you know. But I really love the big cats. I know Andy doesn't because of the rats from years ago. I've been a Montour guy. I've been a
Verhaeghe.
Verhaeghe. I always love the Duke. Barkov showing some nuts again. Barkov is stepping into his body and played in the playoffs.
And you know I love Reinhardt and Bennett.
Reinhardt, Sammy Bennett. To think this is the guy who this will come out in the, you know, in someone's book in 10 years. But who's the guy that always gets hurt? The little, I'll say little person now. He was a prospect for the Toronto forever, and he never seems to make it. Now, he's somebody's brother, and he never seems to make
Robertson?
It. Robertson, yes. Mm-hmm. Great call. They wouldn't trade him for Sam Bennett. like 3 years ago.
Wow. Well, Bennett's a heck of a player.
I love Sammy Bennett. Yeah. How he didn't work out in Calgary, I have no idea. But I've always been a Bennett guy. I wanted him on the Penguins. Sam Bennett knocked the starch out of Slavin. That was it. That's the series was over right then. It's like, oh, they're not coming back.
Yeah. And Reinhardt played great, didn't he?
Right.
I mean, they're all. I think the Florida's rolling. I think that, like I said, the only way that they lose is that this layoff hurts them. It slows them down, or really Bobo is what you worry about.
But
does he get out of the zone? I think Matt Tkachuk is fine. He can take off 25 days, play a game, and be fine. It's really about the defensive cohesion, the way they've just been able to get the puck up and out like monsters. It's all they do is shove the puck up the ice. They don't let it stay in their zone very long. Like, can you keep that? That's like part of the fluidity and momentum that you lose, I feel like, when you don't play in games. When you're practicing, that same urgency of getting it up and out and going north, it's just not there. You can't replicate
it. It's not there. And like what we said last week, I've said a couple of weeks now, how the Sullivan way of get the puck out, go chase it, is that, I mean, Vegas is arguably maybe the best defense now they've had to face. As far as 1 through 6, is that still going to work? That question, maybe.
You know, I ran into our friend Ian Bag last night.
Oh.
And I asked Bag, you know, and he knows guys in Vegas on the team. You know? But he said to me, he picks Florida. But he said, you know what? He goes, Vegas is big.
That's what I'm saying. They got 6 big guys on defense there.
Yeah.
And I don't know how, you know, I mean, there's no little girls on Florida Panthers front lines, but it just might be a little more difficult.
I would think.
It might be a little more difficult.
That was his point.
You know, yeah, because, you know, the system of just, you know, Montour and Ekblad and everyone just throwing the puck, we're going to go get it, may not work as good with Petrangelo and, Theodore.
Martinez.
Nabb. McNabb.
Yeah. You got a lot of guys.
They got a heavy
White Cloud.
Yeah, White Cloud.
You know, some big and not stationary doofuses, guys that move around, they can move.
No, it's a good series. I mean, it really is. And I think that's why that maybe there's a shame of the fact that, of course, the articles will be there because it's hyper-focused on what the ratings will be and stuff like that. But you're right. If this were Vegas versus another big Eastern market, this would be a big deal. Because one thing that they're trying to build up, I'm not sure if it's going to work, is that you have Jack Eichel, you know, and Matt Tkachuk, possibly the 2 best players on each team, both American kids. Eichel, the second draft pick after McDavid, might have a cup before McDavid. And if they win the cup and everything stays relatively the same, barring Aiden Hill having 3 shutouts, he might be the Conn Smythe winner.
Depends how many Canadians are voting. Because they cannot wait to blow Mark Stone on national television.
Okay, you're right. But still, and he's been good for them, and he could deserve it. But I think if it was right now, and say everyone's stat lines stay similar and they win, I think it goes to, Eichel.
I'll tell you, the other guy that has an outside chance, a puncher's chance, Wild Bill.
If Wild Bill gets hot,
that there's a chance
if he is a game winner.
The Marchessault's had a nice
The Marchessault's going to get a couple votes just for that natty hat trick.
I think there's a lot. I'll tell you, I would not be against Vegas as much because I kind of like Butch Cassidy, kind of just like, yeah, he went there and is doing well there. I'm just really, really, really – I was getting fired up talking to my dad last night.
Who's your dad like?
My dad likes the Penguins.
Of course.
I don't know who my dad. I think my dad will be going for. I think my dad will be going for Florida. He was wanting my opinion. He's more worried about the next topic of conversation we'll be talking about in a couple minutes. No, I'm still mad at Petrangelo. I don't think you should win the Stanley Cup after you've conducted yourself in that way. And I really firmly believe that. And then the fact that they're getting on Jamie. What Jamie Benn did as a captain, what Jamie Benn did was nothing compared to what Petrangelo did, in my opinion. And as I told my dad, you can take Trouba's 10, the 10 worst things Trouba's done. None of them even come even close to what Petrangelo did, in my opinion. Because every single thing Trouba did, there is an argument that he was in the right. or that what he did wasn't wrong, or he was a little late, guy's head tilted, the guy put his head down, he was in the wrong spot.
There wasn't a stick involved.
It wasn't. The game's over. I'm going to Paul Bunyan, the second best player in the world.
Yeah, but I do think...
you know, and it's not why the Penguins didn't lose because of it. They lost because they blew Game 5, they blew Game 6, and they blew Game 7.
Well, I do think, though, they were close. I think Jamie Benn, I know you're supposed to say the oops, I fell, I didn't mean to. I mean, the thing you can say about every hit ever, and I don't care who threw the hit, was that there was an attempt to play hockey in that moment. It wasn't just being a goon.
That's what I'm saying.
And that's what both these plays had in common to me. Ben didn't fall. He didn't need to fall there. And that a cross check to the head or neck, I mean, even back in 95, that's a 3 or 4 gamer in the regular season. So I'm just saying, like, they were both really pretty bad plays. neither of them had anything to do. Neither of them had to happen. Neither of them were part of a hockey play. They were just outright hurting.
Do you think Ben deserved 2?
Yeah, you're right.
Do you think Ben deserved 2 for that? Though?
I would have given them both 2. That's what I would.
I think
I
you're right,
said,
Andy. I think Andy's right on that.
I want to keep you guys away from the series enough to really affect it, but I don't want to take you out of the series. I don't want to give you 3 and be like, you're
they
not
actually
playing
played again. Better yeah. without Jamie Benn.
But let me ask you this, guys: what did happen to Dallas? They started off that series looking pretty good.
I think Suter looks like the guy that Bill Guerin bought out. Is what I think happened.
Yeah,
Bill Guerin said, I'll pay you not to play for us, which is, I think, what Dallas would have done. Hockenpah looked like the Hockenpah, like I'm like, oh, this guy's big. And then this year I'm like, well, that guy's pretty good. He should just be a stiff. Looked like a stiff. I think
they've got a lot of good players, though.
I think Haskinen and Hanley were good on defense. I think Lindell looked old. I think Suter looked terrible. And I think Hockenpah looked like a 6.
And Hench didn't play like he had been.
They kind of would, four guys down the middle kind of, hence,
Robertson got some
Rupe
goals.
Rupe did not look like Malkin when you have those other four centers.
Yeah, that's
up
it. That's what it
up
is.
Against
yeah,
them.
Yeah, yeah.
Robo woke up to passing. The kid woke up.
Yeah, he did.
He didn't, nothing wrong with his game. Pavelski was dinged. He played okay. Sagan looked old by the end.
Yeah.
He filled in for a minute there, but this series he really dried up.
1 point in his final 10 games.
And also Ottinger, really an off series.
That's the thing. I think we even kept saying, like, well, if Ottinger plays this way, we see them. It always was prefaced with, if Ottinger stays being one of the best goalies in the league. And he absolutely, for at least 3 games, well, actually there ended up being a 4th game where he just really didn't play.
He dropped off the
base. He really didn't play well.
Domi played well. Mason Marchment did not. Dadonoff got hurt. That didn't help. Vegas is a better hockey team. With pretty good goaltending, they're a better hockey team than Dallas. If you say Ottinger is going to be Patrick Waugh, then it's 50, and then everyone's going to play to their peak, then I think Dallas has more high-end talent and is a better hockey team. But if you're going to say Dallas gets mediocre to Casey DeSmith-level goaltending – and the old guys look old. Well, then 1-12 and 1-6. The Vegas Golden Knights are a better hockey team.
They are better.
They're a better hockey team. You know, I want to talk about the East for a second. Rod Brind'Amour almost going LeBron James and just not taking defeat very well. At least Rod didn't say him claim he's going to retire. But how about him saying this wasn't a sweep?
Hello.
That'll live in infamy. That's one of those things that's never going to go away.
Hey,
it's never going to go away.
I was not good in math, Rod, but I can count to 4.
Yeah, that was weak.
It's going to be so crazy that a women's soccer team is going to get swept in like 20 years, and someone's going to go, well, it wasn't a sweep, right? And they're going to be referencing how dumb that sentence was from Rod Brind'Amour.
That did not sound good.
But you know what? He's not the best public speaker. But he should have gone ahead and said something. I'm glad some coaches...
He should have took a Jamie Benn and just disappeared for a day before if he didn't say something stupid. Yeah. Then the press wouldn't have been there.
I'm glad somebody... These guys, the coaches and the players, have not had the balls to say their officiating stinks. And so even though I don't... It's kind of whiny and you don't like seeing it, especially when you just got bounced, it has been terrible. And I think every hockey fan I've talked to has agreed. And by the way, they announced Wes McCauley will be calling the finals. How bad do you have to do to not work the next week? I mean, really, it's such an old boys club. They're like, oh, well, Wes has the most games, so we'll just give it to him. We'll give him more money for the next 2 weeks. He's been terrible. And they've all been terrible. And then when they go to Toronto, Toronto's terrible. So I kind of like that some of the coaches are going, hey, wait a second. Did anyone else notice that this was called terrible, awful?
Well, let's dive in.
Do you think it impacted any of the games?
Well, let's dive in right here. Game four in the East. It's 50-50. A lot of people think it was a trip. A lot of people don't think it's a trip. Most people think probably shouldn't have been called with a minute left in an elimination game. It was a legitimate chip. He didn't have to call it. I probably wouldn't have called it, but I don't think it was the most egregiously bad call of the series.
A minute left, if you call something that didn't directly take away a high danger, high impact scoring chance, you're trying to control the game as a referee to me. You don't call it unless it could have ended the game. If it could have ended the game and a guy hooks somebody, trips somebody, you got to call that. In the last minute of a playoff game, I don't even care if it's elimination. In the last minute of a one-goal playoff game, if the infraction is not immediately stopping a goal from being scored or a high-scoring chance opportunity, I don't think you can call it.
I agree.
I agree with that. I just think the where he was at, if he waits to see, is this puck going out to the center of the ice and someone gets a shot off, then all of a sudden, then it looks like he's only calling it for that reason.
But you know what? Who cares what it looks like? That's your job. That you,
I know.
Make
sounded,
that call in
I
your
sounded,
head.
I sounded stupid saying that way. I was trying to say, like, he couldn't wait to see what was going to happen. It's either a trip or it's a trip.
Yeah. But he could still make the call late, and all that happens is the coaches yell at you and stuff. How many times during the season do we see an arm go up late because of that exact reason? The referee thought it was a nothing, and it became a something, and then you see that arm slink up slow? Have some guts.
You're absolutely right. You're absolutely right. Now, the second part of that is... was Bennett goaltender interfering, which I learned, not that I in-depthly, it was just said, that went back to Toronto. So the referees on the ice did not call.
What did you think about that call?
I'm way more of the thing of, unless the goaltender gets bowled over, be a man and make the save. He had enough time to line up and make the save.
He literally moved his skates too away from the goaltender.
I don't think he impeded him, really.
I'm just saying, he literally moved his skates in the other direction from the crease. I don't think he was trying to avoid him, but he made it look like he was. He did everything you're supposed to do in the rule book, and on the ice, they called it a goal. And that's why I said before, even in Toronto, they're messing it up, because that was not the first goal that's gone to Toronto that's been messed up. The Toronto series of that puck that was an inch and a quarter past the line.
That's right, and called
a goal. So, I mean... it's been so bad that I'm glad people are saying something.
Well, let me ask you this, guys.
Noticeable.
If the league was going to try to shade something, wouldn't they try to shade that toward the Canes so there'd be one more game?
See, I don't think it's a conspiracy. I think it's people that aren't great at their jobs.
Yeah, I don't think Colin Kennedy, what's his name? The old guy,
Colin Campbell.
Colin Campbell. I don't think Colin Campbell's smart enough to run a conspiracy.
So it's just a bad job.
I hate to get on him, but
they want more scoring. You're going to make the nets bigger. You're going to do this. You're going to do that. You know what? How about just letting a goaltender, someone breathe on him without them falling down and looking for a call? So I don't mind that. He had a second to regroup. It's a goal. I'm always like, if you're playing street hockey, would that be a goal? It'd be a goal. You can't take away common sense. If he went in there and bowled him over, then it's goalie interference.
That's goalie interference.
But if he just, oh my God, you mean like he was uncomfortable for 3 seconds before the shot went in? There was a stick in his way? Oh my God. They put a force field around him. Yeah. I don't know. I think Brindamore complains a lot. Like I said last week, whenever the guy took the stick in the face, he went down and got shot like Kennedy, and he's bitching for 20 minutes. It's like, Rod, play the game. I understand some of your guys are injured and this, but it's like, you got beat.
That's the truth of it.
Yeah.
Yeah.
How long you went to, it's just, it stinks that the penalty was called, but they weren't going to come back from 4-3.
No.
anyway. No. So, you know. The only thing with the sad was they didn't score in the first minute. Then you have to come back from overtime to lose.
Yeah. No, the way Bobrovsky was playing, I don't think the referees changed the outcome of that series. But I do think for your casual watcher, for people that we know who we're trying to sell the sport to, because it's interesting. These are good games with great players.
Yeah.
When they see things, and we can't even explain why it was called the way it was called, and we've been watching for 20, 30,
that's
40,
a good
50
point,
years.
Andy. Yeah.
Then it seems confusing.
That's what I mean, though. But I think, like, what else is Brendan Moore going to do but complain? But I think, you know, it's his final hope. It's the final. It's like a Star Wars episode, the final hope. But if this was in February and he was winning 5-1, do you think he really thinks that's goalie interference? He would argue that.
No. Good, yeah, good point.
You know what
I
mean? Like, I...
No, but again, timing does mean a lot. You know, and I think that if anyone who's been watching hockey closely, I think we've all noticed the officiating, and again, I don't know if it's their fault because like what you just said, Joe, there's so many initiatives. The league is like, we want more of this, less of this, more of that. They're looking at a million different things. They get graded every intermission, by the way. Every intermission that a referee learns how he did, and then they have a final game grade too, which is a letter grade. So it's like I think the NHL, just the rule book is written in gray. And every year there's this new, we're cracking down on this, we're letting up on this, we're going to, that I think it's gotten confusing for the referees. Again, I'm not coming back around to defend them, but that's my only excuse. It must be confusing to be an NHL referee.
I got to say, I don't have without the Penguins in, I don't really have a dog in this fight. And I think if you take away the five or six hideous calls, whether it be the goals in the net, and they called it no goal, you can see the video, or not throwing the book at Petrangelo, or not throwing the book at Ben, or whatever you want to, whatever the five big issues we've talked about here for hours. If you take away those, I think the regular day-to-day officiating has not been that bad. I think it's better than a lot of playoff years. I don't know. What do you feel, Frazier?
You know, I don't think it's been terrible.
Yeah, doesn't seem like... The stall call was definitely one to announce. But just the day in, day outs where it's like, oh my God, this game three of this series became a penalty fest, or nothing was called in this game. It seems like there's been a pretty even keel of the way the games have been
played. I would agree with that. But what Andy said is interesting, that I think they need more consistency on certain rules. Like the goalie interference. You know, they'll call it one way one time, another way another time. You know, let's be more consistent. Yeah,
that's a goal, let's be honest, 95% of the time. I think that's probably a goal. And
that's
then,
what I mean.
And then with the all the way across the goal line, somehow TV had the angle Toronto didn't or something. I think it's extra bad because of those two goals, actually. Because I don't remember it being bad enough to where they went to Toronto, made a phone call, we all saw it at home, and then they still went the other way.
But you know, and this is not to be like, it might be a little bit before your time, but we remember when there was one referee, and you knew the Penguins, you knew, oh my God, it's going to be Rod Schick, or oh my God, it's going to be Mahal. Yeah. And you knew the game was going to be a crap fest, or you knew was called, or everything was going to be called. It seems like especially this year, it seemed like there's way
well,
more.
It was pretty good,
you know,
actually.
There's been some horrible calls, don't get me wrong. But it seems like the level of it has been about the same. Not one team has really been screwed over consistently, in my opinion.
I think Toronto took it, and again, they're because of the way their media and fans are, they're always going to probably complain the loudest. I think they might have had the biggest gripe. I think there might have been
plays. They were given two power plays in game seven.
Yeah.
Given the, hey, we would love to have you in round
three.
Well,
you know it's no big deal because the last person that's going to score a power play goal in a game seven is Matthews or Marner. I mean, they're just not there for games.
Well, it was for,
yeah. Give them as many power plays as you want. It's not going to matter.
And I'll tell you the other thing, too, about this whole goaltender thing, and then we can move on to there's a million big topics as well, is I always complain about having the referee in the NFL or the referee in the booth. Nothing worse than having a goaltender back at home base. They're never going to
come. Oh, they're always biased, man.
I mean, has anyone ever – I mean, Lundqvist, everything is goalie interference. I mean, they're interfered with the national anthem. There's goalie interference.
Oh, yeah, come on. All goalies feel that way.
you know.
Yeah, I think Kevin Weeks might even be the worst with that one. And it goes back to even Darren Pang. It was never the goalie's fault. It's always a screen.
I like Boosh, but Boosh is always, well, you got, you know.
It's like a weird bounce, you know, and they're always for them.
I love Doug McLean has one of the best lines ever. He goes, tell me one time when a puck might not have been deflected that goes in. He yelled at his goaltending coach.
But, you know, I think
is there ever one that's – everything's always, oh, I think it was deflected. Nothing ever straight goes in.
But as a former goalie, I do feel you need to standardize that a little bit in terms of – I know it's hard because every situation is different. Sometimes guys get pushed in and what's – you know. But
the rules – yeah, well, you know what? We talked about this last – I think if you have one beat, two beat. If you have that, it can't be goalie interference because you have 2 seconds to set yourself.
Okay.
I think that's got to be like the same way we said when offsides. If you touch the puck, if the defensive team touches the puck, you can't go back and review it for offsides because you've had a chance to clear it.
Well,
like if you have 2 seconds, you have a chance to gather yourself. Like it's always if a guy gets pushed into the blue paint, it's never goalie interference. If he goes in on his own, that's when he always has the better chance of having a goalie interference.
But what they don't explain, and what happened just there, what if you're jostling for position, and the defenseman doesn't push you in, but because of inertia, you're next to the goalie, and you're in between the goalie and the defenseman, and you're not really in the blue paint, but you're there. The rule is, and this is the rule, did you impede his ability to make the save? And that is such a judgment call.
Well, that's what I mean by standardizing. It's not going to be different every game.
Now, again, when it was black and white and we said when there's a foot in the crease, it's no goal no matter what, we hated that.
Right.
Right? So, but now we've gone full circle to someone in Toronto making a judgment call of, I think he could have made that if he wasn't there. No, I'm not sure if he would have made that goal. Like, it's too judgy. It's too much of a judgment call.
Right. And isn't everyone from Thomas Holmstrom to Dino Cicerelli to Cam Neely taught to impede the goal?
Of course you are.
Oh my God.
How many? Isn't that just
of course you are.
Yeah, like that's the whole point of being in front of the net that, is to impede.
That front presence. Yeah.
The language of the rule is confusing.
Yeah.
So, I don't know how to exactly to fix it, but it's somewhere in the language of the rule of they got to put something in there where did you touch him? Did you go into the area and stay there? Something like that, yeah. Because it's just it's too.
You went a 3 second rule
a little
for the
too
blue
vague.
Paint.
No,
maybe I don't know. I mean, that sounds weird, but maybe that is the way to go.
Yeah, I just did not think that I think you have to let the one in game four stand.
Especially when the goalie's in the top of the crease and he's now taking up some of the white in front of the crease, so the goalie can take up as much of that as he wants and knock you around.
Yeah.
But you can't even stand there?
Yeah.
And again, I know Kevin Weeks and Henrik Lundqvist are like, yeah, that's right. That's the rule.
Sure, but the goalies are going to go.
But I don't think that should be the rule.
Speaking of power plays in Toronto, like we just said a second, the power play coach of the Toronto Maple Leafs will now be head coaching Alexander Ovechkin in the Washington Capitals. Spencer Carberry.
Is the new coach of the Caps?
New coach of the Washington Capitals.
Wow, okay.
So, I don't know if he flew to Moscow to make peace with the big guy, but apparently the first step into showing Ovi that we are, we want you to get the record and you're the captain and you'll get your statue, but, you know, things got to change here a little bit is when they traded Orlov. Apparently Ovi was not happy about that and made it very clear.
Oh, okay.
Because that was his Russian buddy.
Yeah, sure.
That was the first step in, hey, things are changing around here. But here's the funny thing to me about Washington. Washington won the Cup in 2018.
Yeah, not long ago.
Not long ago, but longer than the Penguins ago. Since then, they've had Trotz. Trotz was the coach. Then they had
Reardon.
Right.
Then they had Laviolette. Then they had, now they're getting this guy. Penguins have still had the same coach. through all this.
And again, maybe one of my favorite people to not like, Ted Leonsis isn't known to be a guy that people want to work with for a long time. I mean, he literally, the guy that got him across the finish line, he wouldn't give him more money in more years in Barry Trotz. So it's like...
Barry Trotz has had two jobs since then. Barry Trotz has had three jobs since then. Ted Leonsis, for those keeping score on his douchery, Anyone blaming the Big Cat Florida Panthers for any of the credit card shenanigans to get tickets?
All started in Washington.
All started by Ted Leonsis, who did not want Penguins fans made it even easier to get to than Columbus. Because it's D.C. Why not go to D.C.? We used to fill the Cap Center. And he said, no.
I've been there. Yeah.
Can't do that anymore. Yeah. Dead shows and Penguin games. Love the Cap Center.
Now, what about Spencer Carberry?
All I know is that I've watched a lot of Toronto games. And other than just throwing out a bucket of pucks, I don't know much coaching he did on that team for power plays. Because it looked like, you know, when they were 26%, I mean, I think, you know, I could get them to 26%. I think you get 20%. It's like the SATs. Well, you get 800 by putting your name on. I think you get 20% by putting up Marner's and Matthew. Right?
Yeah. Yeah.
Yeah. I mean, it's kind of like, the name is spacing me. Mikey Yo. After he was the power play
everyone's
coach.
Everyone's bridesmaid.
Yeah.
Mr. Interim. Yeah. Mike Yo. He's always the coach after the coach.
But after he had Gonchar and Malkin just taking absolute blasts from the point, being set up by Sidney Crosby, Bill Guerin in front, making a mess. After he did that, everyone's like, he can be a head coach. It's like, well, okay. He had a pretty good power. He had a pretty good power play that he did that with.
How many salaries did Gonchar's saucer pass give people?
Oh, yeah.
Everywhere. Between every city he went to, that power play was insane because he's the best top of the point saucer pass over to the cannon, whoever it was.
And when he had such a cannon himself, too, that he was such a threat to shoot. Yeah. That people would cheat towards him and he could move the puck. Yeah, I don't know what it is, Joe. Maybe
still underrated. I mean, that's summer programming right there. But I mean, you talk about someone who should be in the Hall of Fame, Sergei Gonchar.
Oh yeah,
totally underrated. So Lavi now is up for maybe the Ranger job. I think that's who I would have hired in the first place. That's who I would hire. I'm sorry, Aaron. Do you hear that buzz? Is that just me? You guys hear a buzz?
I do. I hear a slight buzz. Yeah,
slight.
Okay. Slight. All right.
Okay. Maybe it's just our headphones.
Yeah. Okay, sorry, folks. Back to your normal programming. Gallant linked to Calgary. That's great for Gallant. Because he'll be good enough to last forever.
Yeah,
you know what
probably,
I mean?
Yeah.
He finally got a job without the high stakes. They're high enough stakes, but he'll be good enough.
No, yeah. There's only like six or seven cities where it's like win now or you're gone. Like worry about it every night. And he's been going through that, and now he's out of that. So, yeah, you got to feel happy for a guy when they land somewhere like that.
Yeah, I mean, it's not done. He's just up for it. He's in the final running. Same with Lavi, final running. I think Lavi is perfect for the Rangers.
Yeah, perfect.
But you look at the other openings, though, like Columbus, he's not going to Columbus. I think those are those teams. I think it's Calgary or, you know what I mean? Like, the other openings just don't make sense.
No,
to me
Columbus is everyone's leverage, except for this guy who wants back in. The rumor has it, Patrick Waugh may be going to Columbus. That's who Columbus needs, someone that they can't turn him down.
Well, the Rangers are, he's a Ranger rumor too, because they've asked to meet with him after because I think it's tonight the Ramparts play for the Memorial Cup, and then his season's over. And so he's gonna interview with the Rangers as well, and the tie there is Drury. Chris Drury and him won a cup together. I guess there's a personal tie. And plus, he's Patty Waugh. He likes to be in the big city.
Patrick Waugh's going to
last. He doesn't want Columbus.
Patrick Waugh's going to last 10 minutes. He's going to beat up a 95-year-old Stan Fisher.
I agree.
look, he's not going to last 10 minutes.
I'm rooting for it. Can you imagine
Larry Brooks
versus Patrick Waugh? Can you imagine?
Larry Brooks better hire Club Soda Kenny.
Yeah, right.
Yeah.
He's not going to last 10 minutes there. That's a
I just hope his ego
wants him there.
But that's where he wants to go. You know that he knows that he's up for that job, and that's where he wants. He doesn't want to go to Columbus.
No one does.
So I like New York is the job everybody wants. Calgary is like the second job. You know what I mean? And so if Gallant fills that, then Columbus is just kind of like the
Andrew Burnett is in Nashville.
What do you think about that?
I think it's a nice hire for them. I think he did pretty good in Florida. You know, he didn't get him didn't get him to where Maurice did, but he's in a tough spot taking over for an absolute legend, you know, a weekend of the season. So, and it's turned Nashville loves their hockey. It's a good town, but it's not Toronto. He'll be able to exist. And and they've also kind of turned down their expectations. So he'll get a couple.
Do you think they're a playoff team again?
No. No, because of what they did at the deadline.
Yeah, they dressed down at the deadline.
Yeah.
Yeah.
No. I mean, but I don't
Soros think, is
I,
good,
I,
though.
Yeah, I don't think. But now he's one of the three guys. Now there's like, do they move him and really rebuild? He's one of the names out there with Hellebuyck of people just changing their whole teams around. Soros is out there. Because I guess the guy behind Soros, I'm spacing his name, he's very...
Yeah, they like him. They're high on him. I forget, too.
Yeah, so...
Man, if you're Soros, you got to be like, I had to wait 7 years to get my shot, and now you're shoving me out for this guy? I had to wait for Pekka to play his last three swan song
and we
years.
Said for 3 years that he was better than Rene.
Easily.
We did say that.
And he got a statue.
God will take take Soros in a heartbeat.
Oh, so would I.
Yeah. Soros is
that
good.
That would be great.
Soros is good.
Oh, and I'm not the most anti-keeping Jari, but Soros would be great.
I'm not anti-keeping Jari for the league minimum. Not league minimum, but like...
A deal, which I think he will sign. Because I don't think anyone else is throwing money at him either.
A very... like a one and a option. I mean, not guaranteed to.
Oh, prove it. I mean, he didn't have to sign a prove it deal anywhere. No one's offering Jari 4 years.
You'd be surprised how stupid some people are.
You're right, but Fletcher's gone. The bottom of the stupidity is out for right now, at least.
Mr. Tree Living. I call him Tree Living. Tree Living, he is... Going from he left Calgary on the first Greyhound out of town, and now he's landing in Toronto. A knee jerk reaction from Shanahan. I don't know. I think Tree Living is the Canadian Doug Armstrong without the cup. I think he's way overrated.
Well, and he was part of that big trade that didn't work. It may not have been his fault because Tkachuk wanted out, but he did make that trade.
I didn't think that trade was gonna. I thought it was great on paper, but I was really hoping for Johnny's soul that Sutter would smoke a little doobie on the ranch and be a little happier of a person to make that work because it wasn't.
Yeah,
fell apart.
You know, Johnny. What's his name?
Goudreau or...
Yeah, no, but...
Huberto.
Huberto. Yeah, and Sutter just did not seem like a combo to me.
And, I mean, Huberto came out with a quote saying that it wasn't working and that he wanted to leave and that at times it wasn't fun going to the rink, blah, 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 all that stuff. And then on top of that, Elliot Friedman reported, because they were kind of murmuring, well, is Sheldon Keefe going to be available now? Because that's a lot of other teams were actually interested in Keefe. But Shanahan let every GM know, and again, this is from Friedman, that he was happy with Keefe and did not want to see him moved. So I like to see that Shanahan is continuing to be in charge no matter what. So Brad Tree Living, whatever idea you have, type it up nice and neat for Mr. Shanahan to say yes or no. I don't know. Like Shanny, I think, was a knee-jerk hire because there's not many guys left out there that have done this job before. It seems like Darsh is either happy staying in Tampa or will be in Pittsburgh if Dubas says no. And then what are you left with? Bring back Dubas and say, I'm sorry? So you had to hire him. It was sort of a forced corner. And now Brad Tree Living, who does not have a great history, a recent history, has to make all of the biggest decisions for the Toronto Maple Leafs in the next 3.5 weeks. Because on July 1st, all the no trades kick in on the big four, or the big three, because Johnny T already had his no trade. And Austin Matthews will officially not be under contract for the next NHL season once July 1st hits.
I think there's only one decision to make, and that's do you want to give your team to Austin Matthews or you don't? And I think that's the first question Shanahan had to ask Tree Living, and whatever they agree the answer to be, that's the only answer, because that's the only move they have to make, in my opinion.
And what do you think happens there? Do you think he leaves?
They're hinting at no change.
I don't think he's going to move. I think they're not going to do it. It's just no one's going to have the balls to do it. I think they should do it.
I know you've been saying that.
I think they should do it. And I love Austin Matthews, but to me, he hasn't proven at all that he is a playoff player. And unfortunately, You still got Marner, and he's very good, and you got a bunch of other guys on that team, and it's Toronto, and you got to win at some point. And I think, like I've said for a month, Deneau, Spence,
give them
Dursey,
get to the Kings,
a number two pick,
yeah,
whatever, do it, do it. You know, I mean, what do you really have to lose? Because I'll tell you, he can't play really any better in the regular season, and he can't really play any worse in the postseason. So you're going to wait a whole nother. Here's the thing. If he said, hey, you know what, I'll stay for 1 year, $12 million. Okay. He wants like 8 times 15.
Wow.
To me, he hasn't proven that.
Certainly not in the playoffs.
Which is all that really matters.
Yep.
How could you go with that?
How does he help the Kings if he goes there?
Well, because he can be like the, you know, first of all, he has Kopitar. First of all, he's got an incredibly better hockey team around him. And he's got Kopitar and he's got Doughty to be the leaders.
Would you give up those young guys, all those young guys, though?
I'd give up a lot of guys to get Matthews while you still have Kopitar playing.
Yeah. Yeah.
Yeah, yeah, you have to. He's Austin freaking Matthews. Yeah. He's just not winning there, and he hasn't proven that he can. And I can't go into it saying that I'm going to sign him for 8 years. Just look at Eichel. You know, he was not good in Buffalo. Now he's a Conn Smythe. Sometimes just a change
of scenery.
He comes out here.
It's Hollywood. It's
other than in Manhattan Beach. Who's going to know him walking down the street? Maybe a few people more in Los Feliz, but not. It's not like he's being strip searched everywhere he goes because he's Austin Man. No, we have Kopitar. We have two cups.
Does the LA fan base love that?
Oh yeah,
getting a star.
Every fan base would.
Yeah. It would change things in LA. And not that they're going bad. Things are going well in LA.
They are.
They're
a
good team.
They are.
But yes, if you bring in Austin Matthews to the LA market, it's great for hockey. It's huge for American hockey.
Or like the Sharks for Hurdle in 4 number one picks. Whatever it is. I don't see, and I love Austin Matthews. People sick at my New York friends, the Canadian, they hate the fact they're Canadian, that I love him so much. I wanted him to go in there and win the cup as an American. It's not happening.
Yeah.
And to me, I can't give him 8 times 15 with 20 days left, like a gun to Trilving's head to do that.
And that's what it is.
It's either now or never. You're going to play lame duck and then, you know, whatever. And then Johnny Teum? Let him play next year. And then he's going to Johnny. Oh, I'd love to stay. Ha ha, bye. I'm going to go to the Kings anyway.
Or
Dallas.
Yeah.
No tax state. They buy out Jamie Benn.
You could lose him to the Kings for 3 really good players or nothing.
I got you. Yeah, I got you.
Yeah.
So you got 2 weeks to make this decision?
Yeah. I mean, honestly, it's July 1st. Because here's what you could do, though, and this is where it gets nuanced, is that Austin could always agree to be traded to L.A. after July 1st. But now you do add this part where he has to agree. And he came out recently saying he wants to stay in Toronto. Again, that's the right thing to say when you're still under contract. And he's a good guy, and he's going to say the right thing. But I'm not sure that he really believes that.
Johnny T said he was staying until 11:59.
Yeah, exactly. you don't tell the hometown people, yeah, my bags are packed. I'm pretty sure I'm weighing it out. Well, that's what Dubas did, and we see what happened with that. He said he wasn't sure, and then Shanahan made him sure.
Johnny T didn't say, my dog is already in Toronto.
Yeah, my wife's looking at places. Yeah, you can't say that.
Yeah, my kids are in the school system, you know. That, but, I mean, that's – or Marner has an extra – or it's Marner. But, see, to me, Marner's a Toronto kid. I think Marner has played a little better in the playoffs. He's a Toronto kid. He's a Canadian kid. He might take a little bit of a discount. And I don't think he can go in thinking, I have to be number one. His agent saying that. Matthew's agent is terrible if he doesn't say he's had to be number one. Like, he has to be number one.
Now, what about the Leafs if they get 3 good Kings players? How do they look?
I mean, I agree with Joe. I think that's the only way forward. But it's just so impossibly hard. Even though I agree with Joe, I don't know that I could do it. I don't know that I could trade Austin.
That's what I'm saying.
I don't know that you could.
Do those 3 guys, are all great young players, do they make a difference in Toronto?
Yeah, like I said, I think it would really be the best way forward for both organizations. But the ability to actually pull the trigger on trading one of the top 10 best players of the past 10 years is really tough.
I mean, you just don't do that. I mean, just think like if they get like Byfield, Velarde, and Dursey. You know,
I'm good just players.
Then you put Byfield. Okay, he's a winger now, but you let him play center. Let him work into it with Marner and Willie. You know, then you got Velarde playing with Johnny T, and you got Dursey on the back end.
Got some youth, number some one speed. Pick. Yeah,
And honestly, when you're looking at point value leaving versus point value coming back in, not to get too analytical, you're gaining points and goals making that trade. If you're Toronto. I know it sounds crazy because you're getting rid of a guy who scored 60 before, but when you bring in three guys who all collectively are going to put up 150 points, you're making up for that, the missing points.
Yeah, I just think I wouldn't have hired Treliving. I think he fouled up the Calgary thing.
I think he did. A guy who's going to listen to him. Shanahan's their GM. He's their GM. I know he's not technically, but he's the one making decisions. And if you're the one who decides whether it's okay to trade a guy or not, and all, you're the GM.
I want to make this point. If there was no July 1st, he needs to be signed, or he goes in to be a lame duck, I would not trade Austin Matthews.
No, it's the position you're in.
Yeah.
I wouldn't
do the old shoot a hostage to make a point. I wouldn't get rid of Matthews because he hasn't played well in the playoffs. No. I'm saying. I don't think that's the issue. I think the issue is you have to change something, and you can't get rid of Johnny T unless maybe Treliving has the balls to buy out Tavares. To me, I've said this last week earlier, it's the big three. It's not the big four. It's the big three because Nylander doesn't make. He makes $7 million, and he's actually come through in the playoffs,
which is now average winger money.
To me, it's the big three. So, what are you going to do?
It hasn't worked. You got to do something.
It incredibly hasn't worked.
Yeah, you got to do something.
Got to do something. Now let's get to Penguins. Dubas, still my boy, as of this taping, has not.
No, I'm looking too. I keep checking.
1 p.m. Pacific Standard Time in the 2020 year of our Lord is still. Thinking about it. Now I feel like Shanahan. If you're thinking that hard, you obviously don't want it that bad. You'd really rather, I don't care if your kids don't have to stay, you can go to the same kindergarten. You'd really rather be the GM of Ottawa.
Now, do you think
it
works?
Get out of here.
Do you think, how does he do for them if they pick him?
I think he's pretty good. I said last week, am I going to put the palms out like crisis coming to town? No. And I think him taking this long to decide, he can go F himself. I'm serious. I like Dubas. I think he's pretty good. But he's won one playoff series. This is what I told my dad last night. I think this year he did an excellent job as the GM. I think every one of his deadline deals was amazing.
He got some guys that they needed.
I give him an A+. Before that, I think he did a terrible job. Not terrible. I don't think he did a good enough job. We've said for 5 years, get Horny. What's he get? He gets Marlowe. I'm like, get Horny. Who's he get? He gets Simmons. We're like,
Yeah.
He finally went out and got guys to help that team.
Got Shannon, got some guys.
Yeah. I mean, it's like,
yeah.
So are you guys happy with that possibility?
If that's who first of all, a corpse is better than Ron Hextall. Like, Hextall's second, like, the trainer's senile aunt. Putting the payroll through TurboTax is better than Ron Hextall. So anything is better than that piece of crap. But he's pretty good, but I want Darts from Tampa Bay, or I want, hey, Billy G, come back. The real thing that what happened to the Penguins is Jim Rutherford overstayed his I cannot thank him enough, but he overstayed his welcome that 1 year. And Garen was the heir apparent, and then Jimmy stayed around. Hey, I like winning. I like going and being the big shot in Pittsburgh. Garen moves to Minnesota, and then, you know, half the season in, JR is getting a fight with, you know, Morehouse, and then he's gone. And then we don't have Garen, and we're stuck with that.
And Botterill left during that period of time, too, which Botterill, from everything that I'm reading, which is as recent as it can, if Dubas does move on, it seems like Botterill is the guy who they're going to try and then go with. I like the idea with going with one of the two of them. The only reason why I kind of see why Dubas is taking this long is we all know he's a Sault Ste. Marie guy. He's a hometown guy. And he was a fan of the Senators growing up. And I think he'd love to walk across the province and win with Ottawa versus Toronto. I really do. But I think that the problem is, though, there's like a board of people plus a new ownership bidding group. There's all these people you have to talk to in Ottawa because they're being sold. It's a bad time to need a new GM.
But remember,
and they obviously don't need a new GM. Pierre Dorion's still their GM, which is the most offensive thing. You know?
But remember when Borky got hired? Oh my God, playing for the Penguins. It's like, you know, royalty. I can't wait to be the GM, the president of the Penguins. And those jocks come around. We're the Pittsburgh freaking Penguins. He wants to go GM Ottawa. Go right ahead. I'm not waiting around for you. Give me a break. That's a complete insult. Unless you're the Rangers, the Habs, unless you're the original six team, it's an insult to wait for Kyle Dubas, who hasn't won a goddamn thing.
Now, do you think his...
I mean, if it was Stan Bowman, if it was even Armstrong's won, or anyone that's won something, I'd say, you know what? Let him take his time. If Coach Q would say, I got to think about this. What's Kyle Dubas won? My God, he won a first-round playoff series.
Do you think his stalling sends a message?
Yeah, I don't like it.
I think that he's not sure. I think he's not sure. And I think that there's a chance he sits out a year and waits for an even better job than Pittsburgh or Ottawa. The reason why Pittsburgh's not a great job is they're not going to win. I mean, that's honestly the truth. And that's probably why Dubas hasn't taken it right away. They're not going to win in the next 3 years, 4 years, 5 years, 6 years. They're going through a mini retooling to make Sidney and Malkin competitive enough for the next 2 or 3 years. And then they're going to blow it all the heck up. So honestly, if I'm a GM right now and I'm not a Penguins fan, I'm not in love with that job. So I kind of do see, because honestly, if you give me Ottawa's roster versus the Penguins roster, I want Ottawa. Like all things considered, just roster versus roster.
Makes sense, yeah.
I think I can win in Ottawa. I don't think I can win in Pittsburgh.
Oh, I think you could win. I think you have a better chance of winning a first round in Ottawa in the next 5 years than in Pittsburgh, probably. Is Ottawa ever going to win the Stanley Cup? No. So you'd be an Ottawa center, or you would be in a Pittsburgh Penguin outfit? You would have Sidney Crosby and Evgeny Malkin and hopefully Lemieux back someday and Yager at your functions, or you want to hang out with Daniel Alfredson in the blizzard and an arena that isn't even built yet?
Well, you gotta remember, he's 37. He could be in this league for 30 more years.
I know. So he can wait 3 years through a rebuild. And be a Pittsburgh Penguin. This whole him and hot, really. Now, 3 days ago, I was fine with him. Now I'm getting pissed off just thinking about it. Who? Yes or no?
Yeah.
So hold up for money? Once again, here's your resume. All I see is one first round victory.
But he is the guy that. But he is the guy that 7 years or 8 years ago, Yzerman, Holland, Shanahan, all of MLSC anointed. The guy, and he was a Sault Ste. Marie general manager, and for whatever reason, I mean, there he did bring up a lot of NHL players, current ones like Darnell Nurse. He brought up on the other ones, but I mean, the Sault Ste. Marie Greyhounds is where Gretzky played, that's where Tocchet played. It is kind of like being the coach of Michigan, so he did such a good job there that he got this aura, and I'm not agreeing that it should still stick, but around the league, it does. Every ownership group and president of hockey ops is into him, besides Shanahan,
and then sign. I'm happy with him, but I'm not waiting 3 weeks for you. You talking? We have a deadline too. Not maybe not the big four. We got to get rid of Granlund. We have to get a car full of dynamite to blow Granlund.
Well,
up.
The goaltending. The goaltending is the
draft
timeline
is coming.
That's what you really need.
We have to find ways to get rid of these people. Like, what are we waiting for? I mean, you can't tell me he's that much better than Botterill. I think Jason Barr is pretty good. Like I'm saying, if we're not going to get one of the big two or three guys, they're all almost about the same.
Well, I think to Fenway,
you know, what I mean.
I think to Fenway, he's the big guy because I mean, honestly, there's not
so what
many
so,
left.
So exactly,
there's coaches
so,
left.
So how
GMs.
Much more of Peter Gammon's money is he trying to squeeze out of everybody? Either write the check or
think it's a money
they're
thing?
They're looking like fools, really.
I think it's a Dubas decision thing. They offered him the job. Dubas has to say yes or no.
He's making them look like fools. And if he somehow pushes Eddie Olczyk out through this power play, I already don't like him.
Well, there's no way.
There's
no way that Dubas goes somewhere where the president of hockey ops. It's just not going to happen.
What do you think he gets for that, money-wise?
Dubas is going to get he's going to get $2-3 million a year. Around there.
Can he get more somewhere else, do you think?
It's going to be about the same anywhere.
Yeah, New York a little bit.
The whole thing is autonomy. That's why he didn't. He wants complete control over hockey.
Team. I gotcha.
That's really what it is. And I think Pittsburgh's offered him it. So it's really just up to him to decide: do I want the Pittsburgh job? Do I sit out a year, or do I see what happens with Ottawa? That's the choice.
He has all weekend to decide. It's not even a holiday in Canada. Make your decision. The ice will still be cold without you in September. Like, we're still going to have Crosby. You know, it's not like we're waiting for Scotty Bowman to come coach.
Yeah,
I mean, please.
But that's the way he's being treated.
I know. And it's ridiculous.
But it's not just the Penguins. It's everybody.
It's patently ridiculous. Honestly, if JR had more, is it like JR? You know, if he was like holding out. I mean, someone has won a bunch of things. Or Kenny Holland. We're treating him like he's a really top level GM, and he's had more resources than anybody on earth. He won one playoff series. And I'm not trying to knock him because now I'm talking myself into hating him because he's taking so long. I want to talk about the World Championships for a second. Congratulations to Canada. They beat Germany. And do you see who were teammates? Was Milan Lucic and Sammy Blay. How many dinners did Sammy Blay buy Lucic over in Europe so he wouldn't kill him in the regular season next year?
Probably.
Is Lucic for sure coming back next year?
I read something where he's... You know, looking around.
I know. I mean, heaven forbid Penguins get older, but I'll take Lucic.
I think if you sign him, you know he's not going to play every game, and you know he's there to be Lucic. He's not really there to be a plug you can consistently. But I think I think to a team that's on the cusp of winning and needs a couple extra rostered players, he's a great addition.
And I'll tell you
sure.
what. I'd love him. I was just thinking, after Fedorov and Shanny, Lucic might be my third favorite player ever. That hasn't been a
You've
penguin.
Always loved him, yeah.
Yeah. I mean, it's Fedorov.
I read a thing where he said he wants to go somewhere where he would enjoy the town. I guess anyone would say that, but at his position, at his particular...
You don't think he would be so loved in Pittsburgh? I mean, I know the same jackass is like, oh, we got older, who has that help? Sid would give him a ride to the... I mean...
Well, and like you said before, the other beautiful thing about Pittsburgh is unless you're Sid or Mario... Or Yager, even Ronnie Francis. You'd see him at the mall.
Right.
Like you can be a big star in Pittsburgh and also go out and eat and not get bothered.
Yeah, like, oh, there's Luch in there. There's Luch in that. Look at that. There he is. Look what he's eating. All those. He's not eating. Like, he's not eating wings.
So yeah, I don't know. And I think he's not. Luch isn't chasing the cup either. So he's just gonna want to go somewhere that he fits.
Sure.
He looked good on the Ducks. And I'll tell you who else looked good on the Ducks. That Fantinelli kid. I know he's not Connor Bedard, but that's a nice.
Oh, any other year, you'd be excited to have him as your number, as your first pick. He'd be a first pick any other year.
And the other thing I learned from the Worlds, did you see how the United States lost in overtime?
I mean, I saw that. I didn't watch it.
Right over to Smith's shoulder.
Oh, no. Well, wouldn't you know?
Patented to Smith give up. Yeah, he goes down early. Right over his shoulder. It was perfect. It was like a.
That's funny.
It's like a John Cougar Mellencamp song. So it's so American. The Smith over the shoulder.
Yeah. I mean, that is the Penguins' deadline. Somebody has to come in and figure out the goaltending, or else, let's see who the number one pick is going to be next year because the Penguins might be in for it.
Yeah. Well, anything's better than what we had last year. Anything. Because what? Anything. Between the goal, whatever. There were some rule changes I wanted to get to, in some of the minor leagues. They're looking at the different penalties, which I think are pretty cool. Like if you get a shorthanded goal, they're taking away the power play.
Oh, huh.
It's a little XFL-y, but I don't hate it.
I'm not big on that.
That doesn't help scoring.
I just think it seems very XFL-y. That's a great way to put it. I would like to see all power plays go the full 2 minutes.
If you want to up scoring and excitement and Connor McDavid highlights, that's what you do. That's been tossed around a bunch. Was that maybe not every 2 minute penalty, but you make a number of infractions non-releasable, so you have to serve the whole two. Make it just like a five. And I it would definitely help with goal scoring. You know, I don't know how much the goaltenders are going to love that. But
the other thing I would like to see is I wouldn't mind having like a 1 minute penalty. Like that stall trip. It's like a 1 minute, 2 minutes. Yeah, that's nice. One.
Mm. That's interesting.
But then all power plays are majors in the sense that you can't come out. So there's ones, there's twos.
Yeah.
You know.
Yeah. No, and I think anything that adds scoring helps. I think the non-release power play is the best idea without changing the game so inorganically. You know what I mean? Just say a 2 minutes, you stay in.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Well, it was only put in because of Edmonton.
Oh, because they just wouldn't stop scoring?
Yeah.
Right.
Or maybe now.
But I think it was before. It was the Canadians. Yeah, I think it was 50s Canadians.
Yeah, the Canadians just like, well, what are you going to do? We just keep scoring.
Yeah.
Well, this is probably the craziest offseason ever.
Speaking of Canadians and the Penguins, the one name that is also being floated, we didn't mention, is Mark Burley. he could go in there.
I'm not as big on that. I like Dubas with Eddie O, and I don't care if Dubas has the bat hotline to Peter Gammon's.
That's all he wants.
Casket in Boston. But I want someone there that's just like, you know, you might not want the 5'8 guy that weighs 140 pounds playing defense. You might want to get a man back there, Dubas. It only took him 8 years to figure that out in Toronto.
Yeah.
And I just love Eddie O. So,
and yeah. But I think if you're Eddie O, you're crazy to leave TV. He can work in TV until he doesn't want to work in TV anymore. He'll never.
That's exactly what my dad said.
Nothing will ever happen.
My dad said, "Why would he leave that job?" And then I go, "Well, Dad, he auditioned for the Flyer president's job because he did what?" I should have said that. Now my dad's gonna hate Eddie O.
Yeah, you didn't have to do that.
Yeah, I mean,
he did.
Yeah, well,
he missed the competitiveness and stuff because it is a nicer job to just sit there on television in a chair,
sure is,
watching the game.
I know,
and he's good on there.
I know. You know what? And the TNT broadcast has just been amazing. I miss Talkett on there, though. We've talked about this in private or maybe on the air. Biz needs Talkett there. Biz needs Talkett.
Yeah.
Because someone needs to kind of quiet Biz down.
Yeah, you're right about that.
Because he respects Talkett. He respects Talkett, or else he just goes off. He
fears him.
Yeah.
Yeah.
And he has Talkett has the gravitas, because no one has other than when Gretzky shows up from the golf course. No one there has the rings. Right.
I like the way that he doesn't have to say anything. He just gives them a look.
Yeah. But I will say Gretzky's been a lot more. It's Gretzky. You like seeing Gretzky. But I think he's been great since the playoffs started. He seems to be more engaged and have way more to say because no one's more of an expert on the playoffs and the Stanley Cups
than him. Sure.
So when he speaks, he's like, oh, that's really interesting. You can tell he's phoning it in January. He's like, talk it. Where are we going for drinks?
Also,
you got me down here on a Tuesday. When's this over?
Barkley,
but now he's watching the games.
Yeah, he's into it now. Yeah.
Barkley went on Spit and Chicklets and basically admitted that if it wasn't for him, Gretzky wouldn't have went to TNT.
Oh, yeah.
TNT flew Barkley to Gretzky's house. They said, go talk him into it. And Gretzky's just making a drink going, why? Like, why would I have to do anything? I don't have to do. I'm Wayne Gretzky.
Yeah.
I don't have to do one thing.
But they really helped the NHL.
Yeah, for sure.
Oh, yeah.
And Barkley saying he loves hockey and all those guys.
That's awesome, yeah.
And they treated Tkachuk with respect, which was very, very, very nice. Because look at those ESPN guys. If you try to put like a hockey guy on the ESPN NBA show, are you kidding me?
Oh, good point.
Even when they toss at the NHL game, it's like four chicks sitting around talking to WNBA, like, oh, we got hockey next. It's like,
yeah.
Well, that's why TNT was such a big get, is that they let them have fun on the panel. And whereas ESPN is no fun allowed. You read the stat line. You can't be funny unless you're one of the tenured guys there. You got to be there for 6 years before you say something funny.
Well, and then we'll get. Then I love Subban, but he's not funny.
He's annoying. He's terrible.
He is annoying.
He's terrible. Yeah. It's like your outfit shouldn't be your point of view or whatever. It's like I don't know. It's cringeworthy.
He is a little cringy.
He's cringy, and so is Messier for completely different reasons. There are two ends of the spectrum of guys who I don't know should be in that studio.
No.
Messier is one of the top five players of all time. Don't know that he should be talking about hockey for a living right now. I don't know how that works.
Point. No, I get your
I don't
point.
Know how that can happen. but it seems to be.
And Levy is so good. He deserves so much better.
I like Chelly.
I like Chelly too, but Levy deserves so much
better. Yeah, he's very good.
He just deserves better.
Yeah.
He's waited there a long. And I guess Melrose is, I mean, the last couple of times Melrose was cited, he was like out of it.
I don't think he watches anymore. Yeah. I got to be honest. I think Barry was enjoying retirement, and he was like, what? What contract?
No, it was good, though.
He was good when he was good.
But it was 15 years ago. When he was the best. But when they brought him back a couple times, just like for some wrap-up in sports centers, it was like, what's he talking about? It was like he was like senile almost. All right. Friday night I'm at the AHA. Saturday I'm at the Comedy Store. Tuesday I'm at Pappy and Harriet's out in the desert. And Wednesday, back at the Nightcap, New Material Night with Jimmy Dore.
All right, our buddy. That'll be great. I am at the Laugh Factory in Long Beach this Friday night.
I'm down in Redondo Beach. I forget the name of the place, but I'll put it up on my Twitter there.
Right on.
All right, guys. Great show. Great show. I want to thank Aaron, our fantastic producer. I want to thank Andy Beccaro, Joe Bartnick. Enjoy these playoffs, guys. Here's the finals. The finals. Stanley Cup. And it's an interesting matchup.
Let's go Big Cats in six.
I've taken Vegas in seven.
Big Cats in six. But rooting for Vegas in six.
All right, there you go. We are Puck Off. We are out.